Arizona, Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live, the most delicious hour on radio, and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk. And now, broadcasting live from another happy hour on 104.1 KQTH, here's your host, Matt Russell.
That is right, fellow foodies. We are broadcasting live from another happy hour, but this isn't just another happy hour in Southern Arizona. This is the happiest of hours, and we are broadcasting live from one of my favorite places in all of the galaxy, and I mean that authentically because, get this, we're broadcasting live right here, right now, from my own backyard. That is how we party here on the Menu Live. We are counting down the days to my favorite day of the year. It is July 4th. It is the day that we celebrate the spirit of our founding fathers and all of the risks that they took to give us the lifestyles that we have today. Of course, July 4th is coming up on Monday, and we have chalked this entire show full of everything you need to know to make the most of your July 4th bash. We are going to be talking with people that are going to tell you about grilling and about searing and smoking. We're going to be talking about great whiskeys, the kind of whiskey, in fact, that you really need to celebrate with as part of your July 4th special occasion. And, of course, what is this show without beer? What is the founding of the nation without beer? And who better to represent that story as part of Americana than our celebrity co-host today for the full hour from 1055 Brewing Company, a great American indeed, my good friend Chris Squires is in the house.
Thank you for having me, Matt.
Nice to see you, man.
Thank you, buddy.
I'm glad we were able to get you out of the brewery for just a few minutes to come enjoy a beautiful Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, well, barbecue, whiskey, beer, I wouldn't miss it. And on that note, actually, I'd like to apply for permanent co-host. If you're accepting applications, this is my kind of day.
Yeah, I mean, someone said as they walked into my backyard, you know, why would we go to a restaurant when we're here in your backyard? But anyway, I do love the majestic backdrop of the Santa Catalinas that I get to see each and every day. While I am looking down a two-tap barrel system of my own. We got a couple of beers on tap here. But speaking of beers, July 4th is coming up. As I said, it's my favorite day of the year to celebrate our nation's independence. Now, when you're thinking about the kinds of suds that are star-spangled in their nature, what's trending this time of year? If you're going to be hanging out on July 4th in your own backyard, what kind of beer are we talking about, Chris?
Yeah, I think traditionally during the summer, people, at least in Arizona, we have some pretty rough summers here, right? I think people like to drink a little bit lighter beer. That doesn't necessarily mean light in flavor, right? But lighter in body.
Exactly.
That, yeah, you're not, where you can have a couple of them and they don't weigh you down. A good example is our, I make a beer called, it's our Arizona Red Lime Wit. It's almost 5%, very light. It's very citrusy, made with Arizona red limes. It's traditionally a Belgian style that's brewed with dried orange peels, but we use these little Arizona red limes. Very tart, a lot of acidity that comes from that. Perfect for a hot summer day. Another good one is Pueblo Vida's Hef, another good, great local brewery. They make a great Hefeweizen. Again, perfect, nice and light. So that's the more traditional route, but darker is okay too, as long as you're, if you're not drinking a real heavy beer, you know. Another good example of that is our coffee stout. You know, it sounds, a lot of people get scared off, when we start talking about a stout during the summer, you know. But ours is 4.7%, very light, brewed with, cold brew with local coffee. And, again, it's actually the lightest beer I have on tap at the brewery right now in terms of body.
And this is the XOXO Stout, correct?
True. Yep.
So I didn't know that was the lightest beer on your spectrum.
Yeah, very much so.
And I love that stout. And I love the fact that you're using a local coffee purveyor.
Sure.
Really, and I think that's the spirit of the brewers. You really like it. It's all about collaboration with you guys. And I, taking a page out of the Sarah Ritchie Craft Beer Betty playbook, I'm a stout all year round kind of guy.
Yeah, sure.
And I love a stout in the middle of July.
Yeah, totally.
So, great ideas for beers. I want to talk a little bit about your Randall program because I'm totally fascinated by what you guys are doing every Wednesday. And then I want to talk about a couple of beers that you just did a little R&D here.
Yeah.
With you and you actually brought some
That's
over
my favorite,
for us to try.
Favorite part of the job, yeah.
But
I
love this whole Randall story because it really is giving brewers the chance to really infuse different, you know, a host of different flavors into beers. Now, probably somebody in our audience that is not all So what are you guys doing on Wednesdays with your Randall program?
Yeah, well, I wish I could say that we invented it, but that's not the case. Brewers before us have been doing it. A brewery out in Delaware called Dogfish Head pioneered the idea, and they created the device itself called the Randall. They named it. And so now that's kind of a generic term that's used by breweries when they're infusing different flavors into beer as it's being served, right? So it doesn't mean it's brewed with whatever that ingredient is. It's just on the way out of the keg, it gets run through in a variety of different ways. It gets run through a different ingredient, and that flavor is infused into the beer. There is an element of like culinary science that goes into it. So we do a lot of – one of my favorite things to do, especially during the summer, is take a real hoppy beer and infuse it with peppers and some sort of citrus. And you can be really creative on how you do that. And essentially it's – I mean it's one of my favorites also because it's really easy to do and hard to mess up. Any kind of pepper you can substitute in there, whether it's jalapenos or habaneros if you're looking for something real spicy, with any kind of citrus, whether it's grapefruit or orange, whatever it is, you can pair it and it's going to come out amazing. And so – the peppers themselves, this is where the culinary science comes in. Peppers, when soaked in beer, they take it does not take very long for that flavor to be absorbed, and the longer it sits on it, the more oil it pulls out. So as it sits longer, it actually gets stronger. It gets spicy, and the beer will get spicier and spicier as you pour it through there.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So with the Randall, so you're not infusing the beer in the brewing process.
True.
You're actually passing it through the flavors almost as it's being delivered into the glass.
Yeah, seconds before it
could. Seconds
it, yeah.
before.
Yeah,
and so hanging out in that chamber, that's enough time to pick up some of the nuances of those flavors to deliver the beer throughout?
It is. Some ingredients take longer than others. Like I mentioned, those peppers take they get stronger as time goes on. Spices are typically the opposite, right? So if we do that coffee stout I mentioned earlier, we run that through cinnamon stick a lot, fresh ground, cinnamon stick, and it's unreal. But it's the opposite. All that flavor, the oils that give that its flavor are stripped out as it passes through. So over the course of a couple hours, it'll get weaker and weaker until you got to swap out put more cinnamon in.
And so you're doing a different Randall every Wednesday.
That's true.
At 10:55.
Yep. Our bartender, Alina, is very creative. She applies her culinary skills and is. You know, the great thing about having her do them is she really is approaching it like a chef would. I mean, she's looking at balance of flavors, and if we've got a real hoppy, acidic beer, she's trying to balance that out with something rich. And, you know, she brings her background to bear on that. So
I love
awesome.
It. And people can find out what the Randall of the week is going to be. I guess your Facebook page is updated regularly.
Yeah, true. Our social media is the best way to do it. And, you know, frequently we come up with them the day of. So we will post it on Facebook right away. So, yeah, that's the best way to find out what's going on that day.
What's the biggest Randall in terms of community response that you guys have kicked out over the 3 years you've been in business?
The biggest Randall is probably – I did our double IPA once on habaneros. Actually. It was a blend, pardon me, of habaneros and ghost chilies, and it was
you put ghost chilies in the Randall.
True,
and now
against
the community is asking for against your better judgment. But the community responded; they said, "I like this stuff."
It was amazing. Yeah.
Okay.
The ghost chili obviously is incredibly spicy, but takes a long time for it to give up any of that spice. So that beer didn't get enormously spicy, although it was very, very spicy. But it wasn't undrinkable. It picked up almost this like. Super aromatic, like tobacco kind of flavor from the habanero. It was awesome.
A little bit later on in the show, we're going to be talking with you about some R&D that you've been experimenting with back at the brewery.
Yeah.
We're going to keep our conversation going with our celebrity co-host for the full hour. His name is Chris Squires. He is the co-owner and general manager of 1055 Brewing Company, libating everybody with intention, especially in my backyard. Chris, you made a lot of friends here today.
Yep.
Anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to shift the conversation from beer to whiskey. And there's one guy in this community who knows a thing or two about whiskey, and his name is Chris Cohen from Young's Market Company. You don't want to miss one delicious sip. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Matt Russell, and I have some fun new ways for you to get happy this summer at one of the hot spots on Tucson's culinary and cocktail scene, Commoner & Co. Enjoy special happy hour prices on delectable dishes, craft brews, premium wines, and signature cocktails every Monday through Saturday from the moment they open their doors until 6 p.m. And every Monday, from open to close, each bottle of wine on the Commoner & Co. menu will be half off the regular price. Half off! Is there a better way to get your week started? Keep cool and get your happy on this summer at Commoner & Co. on the southeast corner of Sunrise and Cole. I'll see you there.
Hey, fellow foodies, it's a brand new year, and I'm throwing down a challenge. The time has come for each and every one of you to do what I did years ago and liberate your pantries once and for all from those old jugs of oil and vinegar that you got from the big box grocery store. I'm Matt Russell, and I say enough is enough. It's time to make a fresh start for your family's health and choose only the freshest extra virgin olive oil and specially aged balsamic vinegars that can only be found at Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics. Take it from the palate of a pro. Tom Alfonso is one of only a handful of certified olive oil tasters in the country, and his highly trained staff is ready to show you what you've been missing by pouring you some free samples today. Enjoy single varietal, fused, and infused olive oils, along with suggestions for pairing them with the perfect balsamic vinegars. Stop in today at one of their two convenient locations, on the southeast corner of River and Campbell in St. Phillips Plaza, and on the southeast corner of Oracle and McGee in Plaza Escondida. Or check them out online at alfonsooliveoil.com. On behalf of Tom and Nancy Alfonso, here's to your health and happiness all year long.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live from where? From my own backyard. Yeah, I just wanted to hang out and grilling and chilling and not go out to one of our wonderful restaurants on a Saturday afternoon. Call me selfish. I just want to hang out in my backyard. We're here with Matt Slimmercoast for the full hour. The owner and general manager of 1055 Brewing Company, our good friend Brew Waters, is back with us.
Cheers.
Hi, Tom. Speaking of cheers, here's a guy. Every time he walks in the room, people start yelling cheers because Libations is the center of everything he does. He's a good friend from Young's Market Company, Chris Cohen is in the house.
Hello.
Chris, how are you?
Very well. Thank you for having me.
Well, good new show celebrating our nation's independence without you, Chris.
I appreciate it.
I mean, come on.
I mean,
stars and forever, man. Sure. Okay, so when last time you were on the show, we talked about bourbon. It was National Bourbon Month, and we talked about the role that bourbon played in our nation's history. But I'm captivated, Chris, by the role that rye plays in founding of our nation. And a lot of people are not really.
Why such a loud slurp, my friend?
Well, I read on a recent article on TucsonFoodie.com 8 spots for Japanese ramen in Tucson that is customary.
What? No way.
Way. Not only that, but I found a great Tucson Foodie article about some of the best Tucson hotspots for happy hour, a guide to the growing number of restaurants in downtown Tucson, a roundup of killer spots for burgers, and a number of new restaurants to check out. Tucson Foodie also just won a Best of Award from the Tucson Weekly's 2014 competition.
That's insane.
What? That they won an award?
No, that slurping ramen is customary. I'm going to have to check out Tucson Foodie to see for myself. Where can I find it?
They're all over. Check them out on the web at TucsonFoodie.com, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, and Tumblr. They also have a great weekly email newsletter, which you can sign up for at TucsonFoodie.com. Just look for the bright red logo.
I'm on it.
Great. Now, excuse me. I have a bowl of ramen to finish.
Hi, it's Matt Russell, and I know you're hungry because you're listening to this show, so it must be time to treat yourself to Tino's. Tino's Pizza, that is. Family-owned and operated for more than 30 years, Tino's serves up hand-tossed pizzas from scratch every single day, along with salads, wings, and oven-toasted sandwiches that will satisfy any appetite. And Tino's lineup of craft beers and premium wines will pair perfectly with any of their pizzas, like my favorite, the Dimitri Special. Pizza is a family affair, and Tino's invites you and yours to come in and experience the difference that local makes in a setting that's just right for any occasion. Isn't it time for Tino's? Tino's Pizza, open daily at 6610 East Tancredi Road, just across the street from Trail Dust Town. And don't forget to download some money-saving coupons at tinospizza.com.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live from my backyard. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Whenever Chris Cohen is in the house, people go nuts. People go crazy, tripping over wires and everything. But anyway, Chris Cohen from Young's Market Company back with us talking about rye. Now, when we got interrupted by a little feed problem, you were talking about barley. You were talking about rye. You know, barley really wasn't working here.
So barley was growing, but it wasn't growing as they needed it. So rye took very well. Air quotes, they use it as the next best thing. So when they started doing that, they were making their style of whiskey, but just in a slightly different way. that was going on for some time. It actually is what started the Whiskey Rebellion when George Washington decided he wanted to start taxing people for their whiskey, and that didn't go over so well.
I wouldn't imagine.
So fast forward a little bit, Prohibition comes around, and unfortunately, obviously, a lot of things got shut down, and so they weren't doing as much rye because rye wasn't as large a commodity as some other things, like corn, for example. And so I know on our last bit we were talking about how bourbon was booming and still is, and that had a lot to do with so it's really a matter of necessity at that point. So rye being a little more finicky than corn and also making the rye whiskey is a little more difficult.
Rye more finicky than corn.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yep.
Most people who are rye is a finicky customer.
Not at all. The person who drinks rye just likes a little more spice to it.
I was going to ask you, define the demographic and psychological profile of the person who would walk into a bar and confidently and comfortably order.
I would love to throw out a demographic, but in the way things are going anymore, it's outrageous. Everybody's drinking whiskey. We can't keep it in stock. We can't age it fast. So we're at a lot of shortages. And then things, you know, like Bobo Trace, so for example, just a lot of those products that people are trying to use, and just don't have enough.
Bourbon, you know, that's a core on the mash bill, 51% corn by federal law. So there tends to be a little bit of a sweetness in bourbon that you're not necessarily finding in rye. You use the word spice.
I did. So I like to think about it as a food term. So we were talking about putting food in with beer and how that affects everything. It's almost a culinary aspect at that point. Think about bourbon as being cornbread. It's sweet. It's got a nice, rich texture to it. Now think about taking a bite of some rye bread. It's got a little bitterness to it. And that's what you're going to see with maybe very similar when you're eating it or drinking it. If you're not familiar with about taking a nice bite out of a nice piece of rye bread, you get those little rye seeds and a very unique spice to it. And that's going to come through predominantly in their whiskeys.
Has there really been a renaissance on the whole rye scene?
Oh, absolutely. So rye almost disappeared completely outside of Canadian whiskey. The Canadians still bring us our rye whiskey, so we were able to get our fix. But people just weren't getting back into it. It was all about that corn whiskey or bourbon. And so rye just recently has started, as you called it, a renaissance, as whiskey in general is just booming right now. It's taken some huge market share. And so, yeah, you're seeing a lot more rye whiskeys come on the market. I think people are finding out that they don't necessarily like their whiskey as sweet. So, you know, and it's all personal preference. If you love bourbon, there's nothing wrong with it. If you love rye, there's nothing wrong with that. If you're me, you love both. Why not? Whiskey's all good. So
Chris Cohen is saying, try some rye
try
for the 4th of July
this
year. We're going to be talking with you about some of the particular ryes that have found favor on your palate.
Yes, we are.
But I'm interested from Chris Squire's perspective. We see a lot of brewers these days really bringing the rye conversation into the brewing process. Are you guys doing anything with barrel aging? Or have you heard about this, you know, I've heard about these rye, you know, IPAs and those kinds of things.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's used in on the beer side for the same characteristic, that spice, that little bit of heat and kick that it adds to the brew. Very, very similar, although I would say on a – typically I think when a rye whiskey is made, Chris can correct me, I think it's at least 51% rye. It's
absolutely.
Yeah.
Has to be.
Just like bourbon with corn.
Correct.
Federal law. Okay, so let's try some ryes.
All right.
All right, so what'd you bring for us to try?
So we're going to start off, and I think I had mentioned there about the Canadians. I'm going to start off with Whistle Pig. So Whistle Pig is a whiskey that was just started. It was released in 2010. It was a gentleman, entrepreneur gentleman, went up to Canada, bought himself a handful of barrels of delicious Canadian rye whiskey, decided to bring it back to Vermont. So this is an American product technically. And what
because this is an American show.
Correct.
This is good. This is
hey,
all
you know
American.
North American. I don't want to offend any of our Canadian fans out there.
Of course.
But yeah, no, they're making some great juice up there.
We've got some great rye in Canada.
And we were very fortunate to have him go up and grab some.
So this is the Whistle Pig. It's a 10-year
So this has been aged for 10 years. What I didn't really get into, I know that I talked a lot about laws of bourbon last time. There's a little less stringency on laws as far as the rye goes. But as Chris was mentioning, it has to be at least 51% rye or more. You'll see a lot of these guys, because they want to really showcase the rye, they do very high rye content. So this Whistle Pig is 100% rye.
100%?
Yes.
So with the mash bill, it's all rye.
Yeah. So there's no corn, there's no malted barley, there's no wheat. I'm just excited. They're throwing straight rye into it. So they let this guy age for 10 years. What these guys are doing now is they actually took the master distiller from Maker's Mark, and they brought him up to Vermont. So now he's up there making their whiskey for them. And if it's not here right now in this bottle, coming very soon, we will have American Whistle Pig in our market. It's very feasible that it is this here currently, but I have no way of telling that, unfortunately.
This is a spectacular rye.
It's so outrageously good.
The spice is just, the balance is beautiful, but I'm getting a little bit of toffee.
Very much so. So
this.
These whiskeys will all have a unique spice to them, as a rye whiskey will. It's very easy to look at it that way. But this one in particular, I feel, is very holiday baking spices.
Totally.
And it's totally Christmas in July in a glass right now. This is perfect.
This needs to be on your July 4th menu.
Why not?
I mean, come on. This is a Chris, have you tried this rye?
Oh, yes. Matter of fact, I think I need to try some more.
Thank you for your honesty.
There's plenty more where that came from.
Yeah,
okay, so
we
began with the Whistle Pig again. 10-year straight rye whiskey, 100% rye. So the spice is the anchor of this rye experience. You have any? You seeing Whistle Pig at bars and restaurants across town?
Yeah. So Whistle Pig is very big on the East Coast, but it hasn't been on this side of the country until very recently. So we're fortunate enough to have picked this up over at Young's Market, and it's made quite a splash since it's gotten here.
No pun intended. Okay. Now I see that you're pouring the Hudson.
Yes, sir. Now, so we're moving on to the next guy here.
And I believe we tried a little Hudson bourbon last September when you
were
on the show.
We sure did. I thought it would be kind of a nice little correlation for any of the listeners who were listening to me last time we were here. So Hudson is a company that started in the Hudson Valley up in New York. It's actually the first distillery to be started in New York State after Prohibition, which is crazy because it started in 2001. You would think somebody would have jumped on that. And what's great about this, and I think it's very interesting to see two of them in a row, this is also 100% rye.
You're kidding
me. I'm not kidding you.
Two in a row.
So they call this their Manhattan rye. So if you think about classic cocktails, Manhattans were typically made with a rye whiskey. You see them in all fashions anymore, but rye whiskey was king for making a Manhattan. So these guys, really cool story with them. They're a bunch of mountain climbers. They went up to go start a mountain climbing facility, but they couldn't get the zoning proper. So they ended up looking at other things that they could do with it. Turns out they could make a distillery. So they did. So.
And God bless them.
God bless them, because they're making some really good stuff. So you'll see, this one here. It's a little lower proof. So the Whistle Pig right there at 100 proof.
Right.
This guy is at 92. So it's going to be a little softer maybe as far as the heat goes.
That's what I was going to say, a little softer.
But what's really cool about this process, as opposed to the Whistle Pig that sat in those barrels for 10 years, the Hudson, what they do is they use a much smaller barrel. And what that does is it creates more oak contact with the liquid itself. Then these guys are using sound to help reverberate that liquid in and out of those barrels. So they're sitting there basically bumping some gangster rap for these guys. and that whiskey is able to penetrate the wood more quickly and enhance that flavor. So you see a very deep,
rich
color on this guy.
It's like fundamentally a completely different rye from the first one we tried.
Very much so.
And both 100%. Interesting.
Both 100% rye. These guys source all of their ingredients from within, actually 90% of their ingredients, from within 10 miles of their facility. So they're very local. And I know we're doing a really cool local segment right now. So this isn't our local, unfortunately, but for the Hudson Valley, they're doing it right.
You digging this rye, Chris Squires?
Yeah, very much so. The wood really comes through differently.
Doesn't it?
It still has all the rye spice, but doesn't have the same, like, Christmassy, that nutmeg.
Yeah, I feel like this has got a little more sweetness to it. It's a little more that honey and cinnamon.
I've never heard of that sonic agitation.
Oh, that's so
great. That is
how
unreal.
Cool is that?
Sonic agitation?
I'm going to look into it. I think I just named it.
I think Sonic Agitation is playing at the Rialto tonight. I mean, and what a remarkable coincidence. Anyway, we're talking with Chris Cohen from Young's Bourbon Company. We're going to be talking with Chris a little bit more on the other side of the break, because there's one more rye to try, and I believe this is one of the standout ryes that we have seen. When people think great premium rye, we think Templeton, and this
popular is
going to be a fantastic rye. Anyway, Chris, thanks so much for hanging out with
us. Thank you.
And we're going to continue the conversation with Chris, and we're going to be talking with Dan Dickman of Dickman's Meat and Deli, talking about what's going to be going on the grill this July 4th, so you definitely want to stick around for this broadcast. You're listening to On the Menu live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey there, fellow foodies. Matt Russell here, and I say that nothing makes a culinary and cocktail experience more legendary than a premium cigar. And Jerry's Cigars has everything for the Tucson cigar enthusiast. With more than 70,000 cigars in stock, Jerry's has a cigar for every taste and size, including rare and hard-to-find cigars, alongside an impressive showcase of lighters and cutters, humidors, and other accessories. Swing by Jerry's for some sticks to go, or fire one up in the climate-controlled comfort of Jerry's Cigar Lounge. Jerry's Cigars, the official tobacconist of On the Menu Live. Come see him today at 4433 North 1st Avenue, just north of Wetmore Road. Or give them a call at 887-7778. That's 887-7778.
The heat is on in southern Arizona, and I ask you, is your grill ready for a busy barbecue season? Mine wasn't until I called Tucson Grill Cleaning, your go-to company for all things barbecue. Not only do they clean even the grossest of grills with an exclusive purification treatment that will breathe new life into your beloved barbecue, they also do grill installations and repairs, sell unique grill accessories, and give great advice. Don't you deserve a well-functioning appliance free of the nastiness that no grill should be subject to? Call the award-winning Tucson Grill Cleaning today for a clean grill of health at 245-7967. That's 245-7967. Or simply book your appointment online at TucsonGrillCleaning.com.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live from, I'm in my backyard. I'm just kind of lazy on a Saturday afternoon. We're grilling and chilling. We're having some great beers, great whiskeys. Chris Squires from 1055 Brewing Company, working through that beer like a madman. Look at you.
I'm trying real hard.
I'm following your lead, brother. Anyway, we're talking with Chris Cohen of Young's Market Company, doing a little rye 101. Chris, we talked about this great Whistle Pig rye from Vermont. We talked about this Hudson Manhattan rye, two fundamentally different ryes, even though they're both 100% rye.
Absolutely.
You got one more rye for us to try.
I got one more. So this one's great. This one is from Templeton, Iowa. So Templeton rye is what they call it. If you see the bottle, which we have a great vantage of right now, it's got a bunch of gangsters on the front. So this was, as it's told, Al Capone's drink of choice. So on the back it says Uncle Al's favorite drink.
Oh, I love it.
They would call it the good stuff. Because you'd walk into a speakeasy and you wouldn't say, hey, give me a rye whiskey. You'd say, hey, give me the good stuff. So right there on the bottle, Al Capone, the good stuff. This one is aged for 4 years, not the 10 of the first or the no age statement of the second.
Right.
But this is by far the most popular rye of the three. These guys, they've been making it for a very long time. They're still using that same prohibition recipe, which I think is phenomenal. It's not often that you see someone make something for so long and not tweak it even slightly.
Right.
But yeah, they got it right the first time. So, Whiskey Bible called this the best rye in 2009.
Oh,
I think that's where.
That's huge. Jim, that's where. Remember Jim's name?
Yep,
Jim Murphy.
Jim Murphy. So
yeah.
That's when they got their skyrocket.
No small words from that dude because he knows his whiskey.
Pretty big deal.
All right, so this is the good stuff. This is the Templeton rye, aged 4 years, the pride of Iowa. And I want to call on my inner gangster.
Sure.
I want to do it. So pour me some rye, Chris Cohen.
You got it.
All right.
I actually got you right there.
Oh, you do
yes,
have
sir.
Me right here. All
I was,
right,
I was working during the commercial break. So, and again, we were talking 51% or more, but a lot of these guys, they really want to showcase that rye. They don't want to just make a bourbon-esque or, you know, that really kind of middle of the road 51% rye and then, you know, maybe 49% corn because that wouldn't showcase the rye. These guys are using 95% in their mash bill. So we've got very high rye content on all three of these, and that's what I really wanted to focus on today.
And that's the word, high rye.
High rye.
These are high ryes.
Absolutely.
Chris, what do you think?
That's amazing.
The Templeton is a killer rye, right?
Yeah. Now,
and this is the one that I see, I think, most of.
Very much
when
so.
I'm traveling around the bars and restaurants across Tucson,
absolutely.
Everybody is carrying Templeton rye.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. We're doing pretty well with it.
Congratulations.
Yep, it's good to hear that when you're on the distribution side, so apparently we're doing our jobs. But yeah, it's great. They got a little negative press recently because there was a big lawsuit against them that said, that they weren't making their own whiskey, but they have since beat that out. So
they
are making this in Templeton, Iowa, and they're making it themselves. So
there's a lawsuit everywhere, right?
Sure. And
whoever's going to file a lawsuit against a distiller is certainly not listening to this show.
There's a lot of commotion going on about people making their own whiskey, and I think if you like it, then it's good.
Chris Cohen from Young's Market Company, you represent your company and your suite of products with great grace and sophistication, and you are one of the funnest guys to sit around and have a whiskey with.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, man. Come on the show again. Maybe we'll talk about beer next time you're on the show.
And before I go, I got one more shout-out. Prep and Pastry 2 opened today. I went there for breakfast. It was phenomenal. Definitely go check it out. It's over there on Grant Road.
And they're opening up, I think, on July 5th?
July 5th.
For the big,
their grand opening,
and
yes.
And especially for shout-outs, we should also say hello to your homeboy, Nate Anderson.
And my good friend, Nate Anderson. I wish you were here with me, buddy.
The Magic Man. He's one of the best in the business. Anyway, Chris Squires, you've been busy in the libation laboratory these days, kind of concocting some things of your own. What's going on in the secret department of 1055?
That's true. That's one of my favorite parts of the job is R&Ding new stuff, mostly because I get to taste it after each one, so that's fun. It's kind of funny to call this one non-traditional because the style we made recently was a Radler. It's a German style. It's actually a blend, almost a beer cocktail of lemon. Traditionally, it's made with lemonade and either a pils or a lager. There's several different ways to do it. It kind of falls into the shandy category.
Right.
This one, we made it a couple days ago, brought it a couple days ago. It's Rad About You. It's delicious, made with lemonade and a little bit of pomegranate juice to help kill some of that acidity, nice and a little bit of sweetness to help mellow that out. And, yeah, it's perfect for drinking during the summer. The nice thing about it being blended is it takes, for this one, we used a Belgian farmhouse ale that we made, so a little bit non-traditional. That's kind of what I was saying. It's funny to call this non-traditional because this has been made for hundreds and hundreds of years in Germany,
right.
You know. But, yeah, so blending it does. The nice thing is it takes it down a notch in terms of the alcohol level. So this one's right at around 4%, so it's no problem sitting out on the back patio on a nice hot day like this and having a few.
Having 9 or 10 of these.
Yeah, 9 or 10, yeah. doesn't weigh you down.
This is a great beer. And, again, as we said before the show started, I had a unique opportunity to be one of the first to try this
beer. True statement.
And is it true? Because if it wasn't, I would ask you to lie.
It is true. We just tapped it at the brewery today, actually.
Right.
So, yeah.
The balance in this, when you think about the lemon, the acidity, as you said, the tartness that the pomegranates represent against the backdrop of this great beer, the balance is so extraordinarily important. You guys have nailed it. My wife had a sip. She wants to buy a keg.
Done.
That's what happens, Chris. Anyway, the Radler. And you have another beer that you are doing some experimenting with?
We do. We're doing we've got a couple more coming out. The next one we're doing this year is the one I mentioned earlier. It's Arizona Red Lime. We're getting to harvest again this year. We get our red lime from Sherry's Desert Harvest. You've probably seen her marmalades. And
absolutely, yes.
So we're getting ready to get our next batch in there. So very excited. That's one of our most anticipated beers of the year. We do that one seasonally during the summer. So we'll be releasing that one towards the end of July. We'll start to see that out at our bars and restaurants locally.
And you're going to be seeing that, of course, on your Facebook page. Everybody needs to follow you. Join the great and growing audience of Facebook fans of 1055 Brewing Company. You'll be the first to know when they roll out not only these
what's
Randalls on Wednesday,
next.
But what's
yep.
coming next.
True.
I love everything you guys are about. And we have an exciting thing to share with our audience a little bit later on in the show about your equity offering for people that really want to be a part of the next chapter
yeah.
of the 1055 story. All of our listeners know about that. We're going to be getting a special report from you on what the next story looks like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now I'm hungry, Chris. I'm hungry.
Well, then let's eat.
All right, let's eat. This is a food show.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about July 4th on the grill, you know, the pathways can lead to many people. But, of
yeah.
course,
but who
for
better?
Us,
yeah.
they lead to our own resident butcher-in-chief himself, representing the great company that is Dickman's Meat and Deli. Our good friend Dan Dickman is in the house.
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
What's
good
going
to be
on?
Here. Thanks for having me.
Nice to see you. I can't
yeah,
believe you were able to leave the shop for an hour or two.
Yeah, you know, it was tough. The guys might be a little mad at me.
They're listening now, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
I made them turn it on.
Yep.
I was busy when I left. That's for sure.
Well, July 4th weekend, this has got to be
yeah. Oh, yeah.
one of the busiest weekends of the year for Dickman's.
Yeah, top five. You know, just tons of customers coming in, and with it being on Monday, July 4th, it actually gives us that extra day. You know, so Sunday is actually a real busy day, too, because it's right before the day.
This is the big day.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you, Dan Dickman,
yeah.
conservatively, how many ugly steaks are you going to hand cut and trim between both stores?
Yeah.
This weekend.
You know, you ask me this every time I come on, and I hope I say the same number every time, but it's a lot of uglies. I would say.
I mean, July 4th weekend?
Well into the thousands. I can give you
thousands.
That. Easily.
Thousands. Easily, he says.
Yep.
If you don't know what the ugly steak is, you got to go over to Dickman's, stand in line.
You've been there, you've done that.
I was there the day before Father's Day, and I'm buying my prime New Yorks.
How'd those turn out, by the way?
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. I put them on my alfresco sear zone. They were gorgeous. And you yourself hand cut and trim them with love and with intention. You've got lines 20 deep for the uglies. I like say I'm here for the prime New Yorks. But anyway, you guys have built a great program. How long have you guys been open at Dickman's?
Let's see. We're actually going to be hitting 30 years.
That's unbelievable.
This year, yeah.
And remind all of our listeners now, you got two shops. I'm partial to the shop that you call home.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah, which is the Northwest Side.
Yep.
Tell them
the better store, of course. we have two locations. My mom mostly runs the East Side location. It's all out there on Broadway. And then, of course, the one that I'm running is on Oracle.
Is Jan listening right now?
You know what? She's actually in Vegas, so probably not.
Well, you know, we're worldwide, Dan Dickman. I mean,
I tried to call her. Her phone was off.
It's global.
Okay,
yeah.
So we're going to be talking, when you think about July 4th on the grill, yeah. I think we're going to be talking about burgers with you a little bit later on. But I want to know, July 4th weekend, people are coming into Dickman's, again, standing in line, getting this whole Dickman's experience. What proteins are trending for this holiday weekend when people are thinking about grilling up July 4th? What are they thinking about?
I'll tell you what, last night we stayed at work till almost midnight. We were making sausages. And by 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock this afternoon, all gone. We had to remake them all
again.
You've
got to be kidding.
Yeah.
Now, I want to make sure our listeners understood what you said. We are making.
Making.
Sausage.
Yes,
so we make
of our own sausage.
You're not spending all these hours of the night cutting open crates of from Boise.
No.
You're making sausages there at Dickman's.
Yeah, we debone the pork. We grind it, we season it, we stuff it, we twist it, put it in the counter.
How many sausages do you guys have available right now at Dickman's?
We make probably about 20, 25 different kinds. 20. And it's always changing. We're always adding different stuff, as you'll get to try tonight.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I get to try. Did you bring food for us to try tonight?
I brought lots of food. I always do. That's the way I get in here.
I'm not gonna share my address publicly.
I know that bouncer, Matt, was pretty tough. That was,
That's right. We guard our residents carefully. 20 different sausages.
What kind of pork do you use? Do you grind?
Well, you know, we cut all of our own pork. We have, you know, the pork chops, which we bring in whole pork loins. So whatever we're not using to make pork chops out of or baby backs out of, the scraps off of that goes in. But mostly it's pork shoulder.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's the best cut, really, for sausage.
And we call that pork butt in the industry, right? The butt,
yep.
Which we love to smoke.
Pork butt. Yep.
Exactly. Now, are you seeing people coming in on July 4th? Sausages obviously is raining. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what people are asking for. Do people come in and say, look, I think I want to do a little smoking. I want to fire up the smoker. I don't know whether to griddle or grill or sear. Do your guys on the other side of the counter kind of offer some suggestions on what might be possible for July 4th?
Yeah, you know, we've had a lot of people come in. And actually for just the actual pork shoulder before, of course, we do anything to it. Lots of people for July 4th do smoking. We do lots of briskets. And actually a good one, too, that is really popular is suckling pigs. We do a bunch of those, ranging from little 10-pound pigs.
Whole pig?
Yeah.
You sell the whole pig?
All the way up to 100-pound pigs, yeah.
Holy cow.
You sell whole
and
pigs?
We do a bunch of them.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is big news for us.
Yes.
Now, did you say 10 pounds? If there's a 10-pound pig,
I know.
I'm a little
sometimes
curious.
I'm
about
a
that.
Little curious about it too.
I mean,
don't know
it walks
how they
around, it walks around on a leash for crying out loud.
They are very small, but you know what? When they're that small, they're just so tender. They're so flavorful, and you know you can have a little gathering like we have right now, and you don't have to have the big old pig,
right?
Where it's way too much.
I had no idea. I'm thinking if you're going to buy a pig, you got to go in at least for 50, 75 pounds.
No.
You buy a 10-pound pig at Dickman's.
You could buy a 10-pound pig at
People
Dickman's.
Go in at Dickman's tomorrow and buy a pig?
Yes.
Who's in for a pig at Dickman's?
Let's have a roast, the luau.
Yeah,
okay.
I think one pig a week is my new household tradition.
As a matter of fact, let's start the pig of the week club at Dickman's.
That's,
you know, pig
I'm
of
down.
The week.
I'm down.
Pig of the week.
Do you have enough pigs to satisfy our audience's craving
easily,
and their demand?
Easily, yep.
Okay, let's talk burgers, Dan Dickman. We're going to be throwing some killer burgers on the grill tonight.
Yeah.
You brought some burgers for us to throw down, and I'm so grateful for you and the Dickman family for really helping us to understand what a July 4th is. hamburgers are at the epicenter of a July 4th experience. And I'm interested to know, it's not just a burger, right? I mean, people say, I want to do burgers, but there are so many different ways and different kinds, different cuts, different styles of ground beef that I think contribute to the burger conversation. So, I mean, regular ground beef is sort of our style because I think it's got a little bit of a higher fat content.
Yep.
Of course, fat is flavor.
Yep.
But walk us through. You know, we've got regular ground beef. We've got ground chuck.
Yep.
We have ground round.
So there's a lot of different cuts that you can use for ground beef. And it's, I don't know, maybe kind of a misnomer. You know, people come, they'll walk in, they'll ask for ground chuck or ground round or ground sirloin, and thinking that because it's ground round, it's a certain fat ratio. It's not true because there is actually a lot of different cuts in a round. Like, for instance, chuck. Yeah. A lot of people think ground chuck is the real lean stuff. Or, I'm sorry, the real fatty stuff.
Right.
Right? So, for us, we actually use it as our extra lean burger. We take a muscle out of there that's really lean, and because ground chuck is known for its flavor, we use that as our extra lean burger, and that makes up for not having the fat in it. Does that make sense?
Going through those extra steps.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. So when it comes to the burger itself, I mean, you can do an extra lean. Are there people that come in and they say, well, they want to do as lean of a burger as you can, but doesn't that compromise
the flavor? Yeah, we try to talk them out of that. We definitely try to talk them out of that. Every time someone comes in and asks for the ground chuck, which is our 95% lean ground beef, we always say, hey, move to the ground sirloin. You know, that has all of our steak ends in it. So there's New York strip, there's ribeye, there's tenderloin, all the trimmings that we take off of that.
A little more fat content,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Cool. It's 80-85% lean.
The trimmings of
but
the
cuts.
But
it has the trimmings of the good cuts in it.
And that's making the burger.
What makes a good burger.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
All right, what's the best size for your burger? I mean, you know, I sort of have this experience where you're molding the ball in your hands, and it should be just about the
I'll have
the
to
sphere.
Show you how to make a patty
correct. Depends on the size of your hands.
Show me?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
It's really not that hard once you get the hang of it.
In Donald Trump's case, those are going to be some small burgers. Ouch! I digress.
That's good.
But
third-pound burgers?
Third-pound.
Yeah, all I think that's probably the most popular that we sell. I go for a half-pound burger. Very rarely do we do quarter-pounders. We just call those McDonald burgers.
Yeah, again, if someone likes a quarter-pound burger, they're not listening to this show. Exactly. They have another show to listen to. It's not this one.
Now, those are sliders, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, there's great controversy, Dan Dickman, along the spectrum of burger enthusiasts that do putting it on the grate over the open flame.
Yeah.
Versus putting it on a flat top on a griddle to get that sear. Now, there are people on both sides of the spectrum that are rabid in their perspectives. Where do you, Dan Dickman,
I'm going to be over wood every single time.
Over wood, over fire.
Over fire is
you
exactly
want the
right.
fire to lick the flames to lick the burger. Why so?
Well, for me, a burger has to be medium rare. Okay,
right
so I get the mesquite wood, get it going, and literally burgers on 2 minutes one side, 1 minute the other side, it's done.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm writing that down.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
Right, 2 minutes on one side.
It's so
1 minute on the other.
It's so easy to do it that way.
For a third of a pound patty.
Yep.
And it's done.
It's done.
I mean,
simple
Chris
as
this
that.
Is like take-home value right here.
Yeah.
Now, of course,
so.
This is a burger that's coming from Dickman's that you know that we're grinding there. Okay, it's not coming from out of state or anything like that. So it does
right.
make a difference.
Yeah, up till midnight the night before. Yeah,
yep.
Grinding. Yeah, getting ready.
That's right.
It doesn't get any fresher than that.
Yep.
Right there in-house. Okay, again, the two locations for Dickman's.
You got 7955 East Broadway and 6472 North Oracle.
You guys are going to be working nearly around the clock to satisfy not only my audience's cravings, but all of Southern Arizona. You have built something
That's
that I think is
do.
Extraordinary at Dickman's Meat and Deli. Now let's give away a Dickman's gift certificate.
Okay.
You want one of our listeners to get a chance to come in and try Dickman's for themselves. Chris Cohen, Chris Squires, Dan Dickman, anybody thought about something fun to ask our listeners for a trivia question?
Ooh, a good trivia question.
Yeah. Anything, something fun, something fresh, something new, nothing too hard. You know, from what anatomical proportion of the Kobe beef is the, I don't know, something fun? What do you think? We talk about rye?
Yeah.
Talk about beer?
Yeah, these are all my favorite things. we talked about, what cut of pork goes into... Sausage.
Yeah.
There we go.
Great question.
Yeah,
so if you were listening to this show, you will know the answer to that. Chris, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What cut
question.
Of pork do they use at Dickman's Meat and Deli to create their sausages of epic proportion? We want to know the cut of pork. If you think you know the answer to the question, send us an email now on the menu live at gmail.com. Now, Dan, put your phone down. You're not eligible. It's on the menu live at gmail.com. First person in with the right answer is going to get a gift certificate to experience Dan Dickman and Dickman's Meat and Deli for yourself. We're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, Chris Squires has some exciting news about what's going on at 1055 Brewing Company. News that you, I am sure, are going to want to be a part of. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. I'll be right back.
The Tucson Originals Restaurants is a dynamic group of independently owned, fine dining, casual, and neighborhood restaurants. Since 1999, Tucson Originals Restaurants have been working together to preserve and promote the unique culinary spirit of Tucson. This alliance has helped many of Tucson's signature restaurants thrive and become icons in the Tucson dining scene. Tucson Originals provides support to member restaurants to ensure locally owned restaurants continue to offer wonderful and diverse dining experiences right here in Tucson. Tucson Originals connects Tucsonans with the local food community in interesting and interactive ways, including fundraising for local charities and food demonstrations at local events. Check out their website at TucsonOriginals.com for the latest in local dining action and amazing dining deals throughout the year. And follow them on Facebook and Twitter at Tucson Originals. Whether you're a local restaurant owner or just love good food, check out Tucson Originals restaurants and be a part of something delicious.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live from my own backyard with our celebrity co-host from 1055 Brewing Company, Chris Squires. Making a lot of friends here, I will say, today around the bar.
Yeah.
Always love chatting with you. We're also here with Chris Cohen from Young's Market Company and Dan Dickman from Dickman's Meat and Deli. You know what? We already have a winner. We already have a winner.
That was fast.
You know, whoever this guy is, he is quick on the draw. Hello, Jeremy, if you're listening. You were the first one in with the right answer to our trivia question. But Dan Dickman, you actually brought some burgers for us to try tonight that are not your typical burger.
Yeah, I want to quickly tell you about it. So I made a special burger just for today. It has a cheese. It's a Monterey Jack and a blue cheese mix. The cheese is actually mixed together. So,
in the burger?
Yeah. Oh, well, just the cheese. But then what I did is I chopped that up into little squares, okay, and then I added it to a burger that's already been ground with jalapeno bacon. Okay, so
that will do just fine,
yeah,
man.
Ground chuck, jalapeno bacon, and that cheese all mixed together.
That's how Dan Dickman rolls. Anyway, Dan Dickman from Dickman's Meat and Deli. It is always such a privilege to sit down with you and just talk about the world of butcherdom. You guys do it better than anyone. My loyalty to Dickman's is boundless, and I want to just tell all of our listeners, if you want a real butcher, family butcher experience where they wrap the meat in paper and write with a black piece of chalk like they did when I was a kid, say no to the big box stores, because Dan Dickman at Dickman's Meat and Deli is going to satisfy all of your cravings. Dan, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, Chris Squires with 1055 Brewing Company. We had you on the show a few months ago talking about your public offering, an opportunity for people that love craft beer to become part of your success in a way that's successful for themselves. You guys have an investment opportunity, and you have some news to share.
That's true. For those people who are listening who don't know what we're up to, my partner and I started 1055 Brewing just over 3 years ago now. We very much on the industrial side of town over at Palo Verde and Ajo. We crank out a lot of beer that we distribute to bars and restaurants, and we have a small tap room on site as well. You can come down and have a pint, and we'll have a food truck out front frequently. You can have a bite to eat as well. So after a couple years, we knew it became apparent very quickly we could not make enough beer, and that's true today. We sell every drop we can make. And so when it was time to expand, we were looking at different ways to do that. We decided that the best place for us was going to be downtown, a large production brewery with a large beer garden, outdoor beer garden on site. We had a building identified. We knew what our plan was, but we didn't know how to get there. So a few months ago, and you had us on our show right when we started this, we had launched our investment offering, our campaign. We're taking on investors into our company. We've got our prospectus, our business plans available on our website. You can check it out there and see the details of what we're trying to do. At that time, we had just launched our offering a few weeks ago, and we had put together $200,000 at that time. So that's been 7 or 8 weeks now. We're up to $625,000. So
$600,000.
$625,000.
Big numbers.
We put together.
Yeah,
big
beautiful.
Numbers. Our plan is big. The total plan is $2 million. That's the total raise. It lets us do everything all at one time.
So we're almost a third of the way there in just a matter of weeks. So
I love
it's really
it.
Really exciting.
And the offering is available. And one of the things I love about you guys is, you know, there's a lot of people around the country that would love to be a part of your success, that want to be a part of the story. This offering is available only to residents of the great state of Arizona.
That's true. The law that we use, this is a big, complicated subject. I don't know what your background is like in federal securities law, Matt, but mine is limited. But yes, so we had options in determining how we were going to bring investors into our company. And so this kind of offering that we used, we're the first ones in the state to use this law. It just passed last June. It's a year old now. And so it allows us a lot of freedoms that other companies would not have when they're bringing investors in. It lets us advertise the offering and lets me go on the radio and talk about it in my local community, and lets us take on – there's no limit to number of investors or things of that nature. So it is very helpful in that sense. It does also limit us to Arizona-only investors. It has to be Arizona residents. But that kind of fits in with us. That fits in with our brand. That dovetails very well with our local focus. That's the kind of investor we want to be involved in our company, is someone who has an active interest in seeing our beer and our product out there in the community. So that was that we didn't view that as a restriction, really. We had other options that did not put that restriction on us, but we chose this one because we felt that's the kind of investor, that's the kind of person we want as part of our network and part of our company.
And part of your success, too, because this is just someone putting some money in and getting a temporary tattoo as part of like a reward for a GoFundMe. You want people to share in your success.
That's true.
And that's what this is all about. Now, for anybody that has not had a chance to see the prospectus, you can actually check it out online.
Yep, absolutely. You can go to our website. My email and contact info is all there. But also our investment offering portal is at our website as well. So it's invest.1055brewing.com. That's numeric on the website. So it's invest.1055brewing.com. And my business, you do have to log in, verify residency, all that good legal stuff. But after that, you can view our plan and see the details of what we want to do for downtown Tucson and where we think craft beer is going.
And people can really hear the whole story face-to-face in real time, because you guys are putting on an event here coming up to really explain to the community what this is all about, the opportunities involved, and how they can get in. Talk about that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So this is coming up next Friday at Riley Pizza, one of our favorite downtown craft beer joints. We're hosting an investor conference, which is a chance for people who maybe have heard a little bit about what we're trying to do but want to get more details. They can come see us. Details are available for that on our website as well, or on our social media, actually. They'll have to contact us. Seating is limited for that because we're using the beer garden. Riley has been super helpful in letting us use that beer garden in back, but space is limited. So if anyone is interested in attending these, they have to come onto our social media or contact us directly and make sure that we have a spot available.
And what's the best way to contact you if they want to get in on this?
Email, phone. It's all, again, on our website, but email is best. That's the easiest one, and that's on there, too. Or shoot us a Facebook message. We're super easy to get a hold of.
Yeah, super easy to get a hold of. Sit down with Chris and his business partner, JP. Talk about beer. Talk about where this whole conversation is going. Talk about the opportunities that 1055 represents downtown. I mean, your vision for really creating a community center around craft beer, on being able to provide the production capacity to meet the needs. I mean, you have a waiting list of restaurants that want to serve your beer. You can't make beer 24 hours a day.
Yeah, sadly, we've been saying no for over a year now. When new bars and restaurants call and they want to carry our beer, we sadly decline. That was cool for a little bit. Created some exclusivity there.
Chris Squires from 1055 Brewing Company, I love you and everything you're about. Keep
Thanks,
up the great
you
success.
Too.
Dan Dickman from Dickman's Meat and Deli, and Chris Cohen from Young's Market Company.
Thanks
Keep
for
doing
me.
What you're doing.
Yes,
if you missed any part of this show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website, onthemenulive.com. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell reminding you, if it's Saturday at 5, it is on the menu.
Tucson's
live.
News.